Perhaps you're familiar with the words from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from re-embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. For everything, there is a season. And we may ask, what is this season for? It's rather odd, you see, this season of Advent. On the calendar of the church, this is the first day of the new year. Where are the fireworks, the horns, and the funny hats? No, in our world and in our lives, we're coming off the feast of the harvest at Thanksgiving and putting up colored lights and multiple decorations for the festivities of Christmas. We are getting the message in spades that this is the season for buy, party hardy, and overdo it. Go big, show your stuff. And we come to worship after being in the world of lights, and here we are surrounded by blue. The color of calm, of rest. We sing songs that are rather plaintive, full of longing, even lament-like. And we hear words of scripture that speak of endings, invite us to wait, to get ready, to prepare, to be silent, to be reflective of where we are in our lives today, what drives us, what keeps us, what gives us life. What is this season for? What is this time for? Well, it's always a time to come closer to God or allow God to come closer to us, for this is the season we cry out, come, come to us, Lord Jesus. We have nowhere else to go. My answer is to say, this is a season, a time, to live with contradiction. A wise mentor of mine, Parker Palmer, says that the way we respond to contradiction is pivotal to our spiritual lives. The way we respond to contradiction is pivotal to our spiritual lives. Contradiction? Bishop Gonya refers to it as living a life that is both and, not either or. It is to have a relationship with the God who dwells with us in a time that has gone, and a time that hasn't come, and a time of now. To know that God is with us in our dying and in our rising, in sorrow and in happiness, in failure and success, and to hold all of these things together, or let God hold them in us and through us in this world. The Lakota Indians had a character in their culture who was designated themselves for an extraordinary lifestyle. They were called the Heoka, or the Contraries. One person for a lifetime was to be the one person in the tribe who went a different way. So on, for example, the hottest day of the summer, when everyone was sweating and complaining, they would look to see their contrary ride in on a horse, wearing the warmest of robes, a fur hat, and pretending to shiver with the cold. Or on the coldest day of the year, there would be the contrary, dressed in very little, fanning his face as if the sun was beating down on him and he couldn't stand the heat. Or when they were all headed for battle, lined up with their horses, there would be the contrary coming in on a pony, riding the opposite way on the horse, backwards. A reminder, the contrary was in their community a very important thing, that there's a different reality at times than the one we all see. The contrary contradicts what we think we know to be true. The contrary presents the other side of what we see before our eyes. Now, Jesus often presents the contrary in many, many ways. When people are looking to the powers that be to make a difference, Jesus is looking towards the widow, towards the leper, towards the outcast, the people on the margins, and says, "What about them? What's the difference happening here? Where's the power here?" Jesus's story as he walks through life is often to present the other side of the reality to the community. And in the gospel story today, we hear these kinds of words, for as the people are looking at the destruction of the temple before them, he is pointing to the endings. They are looking at destruction and ending, that everything is over. They speak of the end of time because of what they see happening in the world, the conflicts and the divisions, the earthquakes and floods and fires. And all of these things are part of their reality right before their eyes. And then Jesus walks over to a fig tree that looks bare and sparse. And he reminds them that this tree will be covered in leaves. This tree will bear fruit in the springtime. This fig tree is also part of reality. Contrary to what they think or know, there is a spring of new life yet appearing on this dead, seemingly dead branch. What is this season for? Advent is the season of contrary. Advent provides the contrary to a culture that is rushing and anxious, out of touch with its deep needs and inner longings. The gospel points to endings when we rather pretend that end won't happen. It points to suffering when we would rather focus on escape. It points to simplicity when we want to be lavish, spend it all, there is no tomorrow. It points to going deeper when we would rather stay on the surface of things. And it points to the life of God like a barren tree that we often overlook, but in its time bears a fruit that is nourishing and good tasting. Contrary to the darkness, to the cold, and to the fear of endings in wintertime, Advent offers a hope unseen, a peace, and a love that comes when we least expect it. Advent is a promise that God is coming. It points to that unknown child, born not in a palace, but in the surprising place of a manger among animals, seemingly powerless, with no importance to the world or to the one who dies on a cross. How contrary to what we see as rule in this world. Yet this is the surprising place of God's salvation. Advent promises that the end of time, that love of God will prevail. And yet Advent also promises us that God comes now. Not just the story of the past or the hope for the future, but now God is coming in our present, in all the contradictions of our lives, saints and sinners that we are, broken and whole in this community all together, God continues to come. God continues to love us in the midst of our contradictions. And that's why I say we have this season of the contrary. I would say it is for the sake of love, the renewal of love in our lives. Be on guard, says Jesus, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. What does it mean to have hearts that are weighed down? It is to only see reality as one thing, one way, to not see the other side of reality, the sprig of life and new life that is aborning. We get so heavy hearts we cannot care. We cannot love, we cannot hope for tomorrow. So dispersed and distracted we can't focus on the important things. So filled with worry and fear, there's no room for the possibility of God. And Jesus says, be on guard. Open a space in your life for hope. Open a space in your life for the other side, for God's life to emerge. Lighten up our hearts, says God. And this is the season for quiet reflection that helps us see that there's more to reality than meets the eye. That in a life, in the love of God, in the quiet ways of a heart renewed, a heart returned to care, is salvation. For everything, there is a season. Amen.